Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top feed you some football here on this Friday. It's your NFL Lunch. Let's get back to Lamar Jackson, some of the things he had to say last week out there at Mandatory Minicamp. And this one's more team-related, not contract-related, and it's the new tight end. It's a full tight end room, and how are these young guys looking so far, number eight?
Those guys look nice. They seen Likely out there today. He was making some heck of a catches, but like rookie making diving catches, like sure hands. Caught one in the back from Anthony in the back of the end zone. It was tremendous catches, so the sky's the limit.
And, Vinny, you've been very impressed with Isaiah Likely here as of late.
No doubt. And, Bob, let me just say this. If I was Isaiah Likely, you know, and I heard the starting quarterback mention me in his press conference, I'd be pretty jacked up if I was him.
I mean, mention him by name, exactly, you said.
Yeah.
He went out of his way to say that. Question is now, how do you use them to the best of their abilities? Charlie Kohler could be more of a red zone guy. Andrews is going to get the brunt of the targets. I mean, the onus will be on Greg Roman to utilize everybody.
Well, I think
not to mention Nick Boyle, who we keep forgetting.
Right. I think you're playing right into Roman's hands, Bob. I think that's his expertise is, you know, tight ends and the run game. So I think you're playing right into his hands. You know, the interesting thing would be, you know, to ask Greg Roman – or Eric or whoever, you know, going into the draft, you know, were you thinking about like going back to 2019, or was it because, you know, during the draft, you ended up getting two tight ends? You know, that would be kind of an interest to me, you know, why two tight ends again? Because it seems like every time they draft tight ends, Bob, they take two. I guess is that, you know, one's good and one's not good, or you...
Yeah, was it Pitta and Ed Dixon?
Yeah.
And the second one, Pitta and Dixon. Well, it was Dixon, then Pitta, then Hurst, then Andrews, and now, what, Kohler, then Likely.
And it's the second one's always been the better.
Always the one that kind of stands out when it's all said and done. Will this be a trend that continues? We shall see. But Lamar Jackson, talk a lot about him working with Adam Dido, the mechanic guru kind of guy, if you will. And Lamar was asked about, have there been some possible tweaks to your mechanics?
I really didn't change my mechanics. You know, it's just he just sharpened me up a lot, you know, with just refreshing my lower body, keeping my hand poised, you know, when I'm releasing the ball. And that's just what it was, you know, because I get loose sometimes throwing the ball. And you know, that's when I had a dug, ears on the ball and stuff like that. So, yeah, Adam is doing a great job with me.
What's he saying there? Getting loose.
Getting loose with the ball. I'm not sure what he's, you know, maybe, you know. Well, I know with his feet. His feet are better, you know, because it's about, you know, having base and balance. And then getting loose with it, I'll be totally honest, Bob, I'm not sure what he means by getting loose with it. You know, I know his grip changed a little bit, but because he doesn't have the tip on his finger anymore, you know, because the index finger for Lamar was on the tip of the ball. And the last thing that comes off the ball is your index finger, and that's what spins it. So if you're on the tip, you know, it's hard to spin it. You know, so he brought it down a little bit. So I whatever he's done with his grip and whatever Dido has done, this is the best he's thrown a spiral.
And mechanically, however, the grip might be different, but when you saw him last week, did he look like he is throwing the ball differently than he has?
Same angles.
Right.
Say he's still throwing it sidearm, underarm, whatever it takes, Bob, especially more so to the right side. You know, he's throwing, he's dropping that elbow down, throwing sidearm or whatever. Just, you know how he does it. Just
sure.
Put it in. But when he's going left, he done. It's harder to drop down. You know, when you're rolling left, he's usually over the top pretty good when he goes left. You know, but when he goes right, that thing wants to come sidearm.
Now, we talked about Lamar and the muscle that was added, yeah, up to 220 pounds. And when he first addressed the media, got to the podium, question was, hey, Lamar, looks like you picked up some weight there, huh?
Yeah, muscle mass-wise, usually I'd be like 205, 208. I'm 220 right now.
And it was noticeable, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he's feeling good about it, you know, because T-shirt's probably wearing a little tighter. Guns are sticking out a little bit more, you know. So he's probably feeling pretty good about himself. But the biggest thing was, with that addition of weight, Bob, I don't, you know, his arm strength's a lot better. You know, you could see a lot more zip on that ball.
And the foot speed is still the same.
Yeah, I didn't see any difference, you know, in foot speed. I mean, you know, he still looked the same running around and same aggressiveness stuff when he had his hands on the ball and he was scrambling around.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. Tyler Linderbaum, he's the new center, first-round pick out of Iowa. How's that chemistry working out between you two, Lamar?
Chemistry is great. Chemistry is great. And I threw an interception yesterday. Dalen was taking it back to the house the other way. I was kind of paused talking to Duve during the play. And my center Tyler was getting after it. Like, he was running them down. So I just say he's fast. He's fast as heck for a center, man. I ain't never seen a center run like that. He a football player.
And that's good news for Lamar. Good news for the Ravens, we hope, moving forward here for many years to come. First-round draft pick.
Yeah, he's extremely athletic, which gives Greg Roman, you know, stuff that he can do with the center. He can pull him. He can do a lot more things because he's so athletic. You know, comboing up and doing those types of things. So it's going to help him in a run game and in the pass game. So, you know, I mean, Greg Roman, after minicamp, he got him some toys, you know, from the draft and stuff that is going to help his offense. Because last year he was kind of, you know, running that offense kind of on fumes without his running backs, without tight ends. You know, all the things that he needs for his offense, he didn't have.
And the end result
was not good either.
Proved that. I mean, they were very conservative offensively and not very productive on their way to finishing 8-9. Another toy, well, he was there last year, but not the whole season, Rashad Bateman, because he got hurt. Last year's first-round pick out of Minnesota, and Bateman was asked about Lamar and how he looked and how they feel together.
I think he's coming in. No, I just think he's about his business. You know, he's been out here working day by day, and he's, you know, his approach to the game is definitely different. He's eager. He's ready to ball. He's ready to show everybody who he is. We all know who he is, and I think we're just all tired of the Lamar slander, but I know who he is.
And one of the beneficiaries of Lamar is going to be Rashad Bateman.
No doubt about it.
And vice versa.
Yes, because Bateman will make – Bateman's going to make plays for him. The thing that Bateman will do like Andrews does is he's going to make plays after the catch. That's going to be the biggest thing. So, I mean, if you're a quarterback, you know, ask Patrick Mahomes how much you like it if you throw a little hitch route, you know, and your receiver runs 60 yards, you know, and on your stats, it's 1-for-1 for 60 yards. It's not 1-for-1 for 2 yards, you know, how it was thrown.
Right.
You know, so quarterbacks love that.
And with Bateman, young receiver, and we've talked about that Ravens receivers room, and, you know, it kind of is what it is right now. Not a lot of proven commodities. Could a veteran be added to the mix before the season begins on September 11th? We don't know, but Bateman was asked, and this is on Marlins podcast right there, Norm?
No, this was the press conference. Okay. I was referring to what you were asking me, where the slander coming from. Why do they keep saying slander? I recall back on Marlon's podcast, Bateman had brought up that word.
Yeah, because
that was his doing.
Yeah, I think it's actually more criticism than slander, but you know,
right.
We're splitting hairs, I guess. Here's Rashad Bateman talking about the young receiver room, you know, getting criticized.
I just want to know why us. I mean, That's like rookie receivers everywhere going crazy, and everybody gets talked about what else. But we embrace it. It's a challenge, but we're learning from Lamar. We don't really care anymore either.
Well, the reason, you know, people are why us is, you know, what is how many balls has Tylan Wallace caught? You know, how many balls is pro? How many of any of you guys really caught?
Like Bateman's made 5 straight Pro Bowls.
You know, so like he said, there's a lot of rookie receivers making a lot of catches, but it ain't anybody with the Ravens, you know? So you got to, you know, we're from Missouri, me and Haney. Show us. Show me state.
And then finally, Rashad Bateman was asked if he knew that Marquise Brown was going to be dealt out to Arizona.
No, actually, you know, me and Hollywood are close. You know, we're all close. Well, obviously, we didn't know. You know, we found out later. But, you know, there's no bad blood. Hollywood's our brother. We still stay in contact with him. I potentially even might even go down to his camp. That's something that we talked about. Just because, you know, he's our brother. You know, this league is a business, and you got to handle things to handle things. So we still communicate, and, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, nothing personal, just business.
Yeah, we're close, but we're not that close, you know.
And now Bateman, more than anybody.
He's the beneficiary of it.
Benefits,
you know, all those
way.
Guys are, because everybody moves up a spot. So, you know, hey, he's our boy, but you know what? Hey, business is business. Now I'm the number one guy. And everybody else, Duvernay, now I'm starting.
Sure, and have fun in Arizona.
Yeah.
We got this. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Marvin Lewis joined us around 10:15, talking about the 2000 Ravens defense and Tony Siragusa, who passed away, sadly, a couple of days ago at the age of 55. He remembers him as well. Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun, joins us at 1:30. And then it's a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Jim Hunter get you ready for the Orioles and White Sox game 2. Birds win last night 4-0 behind Kramer and Rutschman.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Nobody ever gave me anything. When I came into this league, I got a $1,000 signing bonus, not $12 million. You look at all these guys drafted first round. All this, all that. They're going to come in with their nice cars. Don't park them near me, because I'm going to slam my door open and you're going to have dents all on the side of your car. I have no respect for you until you make the team. And then once you make the team, then, you know, I might talk to you or something.
Tony Siragusa, late great. That was Hard Knocks 2001. First ever Hard Knocks. Ravens at the time were the reigning Super Bowl champions, and a lot of personalities on that team. And Tony Siragusa certainly was at or near the top of the personality guys on that ball club that did make the playoffs that year. They fell short of repeating. Jamal Lewis got hurt. Leon Searcy, who they signed, got hurt. I mean, didn't play a down. Elvis Gerback had a rough go of it, minus his running game. Ravens wound up losing to the Steelers in the division round. But earlier this week, Tony Siragusa passed away unexpectedly. At the age of 55, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, and Marvin Lewis, defensive coordinator for that team, joined us earlier today and talked about Tony Siragusa and what were the qualities that made him such an awesome guy.
Yeah, well, Tony's, you know, his story was a tremendous story, literally coming to the National Football League as a college free agent and doing what he had done and as a player, everything he meant to us, an extension really of the coaches out on the field. Everybody talks about Goose and his size, but his athleticism and his smarts really made him a really great contributing player to that team.
And undrafted out of Pitt, Colts signed him, and then Ted Marchibrodo, who had him in Indy, brought him over here to Baltimore with him and the Ravens. But when you have a guy like that, and you heard in that clip from Hard Knocks, you know, you bring your big fancy car in here and you're a rookie and you haven't, you know, proven jack squat. You know, I'm not going to have any respect for you until you make the team and you can prove you're a contributor. And then everything else will take care of itself. I mean, do guys like that have that they never stop fighting, where, you know, they're never content, where I came in undrafted, I overcame odds, you know, I'm outperforming players who were taken in the first round, and here I am, and I can never relax, because if I do, and then, you know, I fall by the wayside here.
Well, that's what got him to where he is, and that's what's got to keep him to where he is. You can't get comfortable, because then once he gets comfortable, then probably, you know, are people going to pass me up? That's what, you know, if I'm him, okay, oh man, I got to keep working. You know, I mean, I fought to get here. I got to keep fighting to stay here.
Yeah, I'm undrafted, and if I lose any of this this desire to be great, then
I'm not good enough.
And yeah. They're constantly drafting my replacement anyway.
No doubt. Hey, you know, it'd be, you know, I'll bet you, Bob, you know, that if you're the coach, if you're Marvin or Billick at the time, that going, even if you were Ozzy, I'll bet you going to Saragusa, you know, Tony, how's the locker room? How are, you know, you're going to get a good idea of how my team is if you go talk to Saragusa. I would bet you that was one of the things that Marvin or Billy that you could do, you know, is go in and talk to Saragusa. And I'll bet you after minicamp, when the rookies came in, if Ozzy went, which ones are good, which ones aren't? He'd tell you, that guy sucks. This guy, you know, he don't work hard enough. You know, Saragusa would be like that, I think. Because you know why? He wants guys that he knows what it takes to win, you know. And those guys when you're bringing guys in on that type of defense, they're going to tell you, hey, Oz, no, this guy, he's not going to fit.
Now, the big personality was on display for everyone to see, not only on Hard Knocks, but if you followed the Ravens at home and waited after the game, or you followed them on the road and you tailgated, because Tony Saragusa liked to mingle with the people. Got himself into broadcasting after his playing days were over. And Fox was in The Sopranos, for crying out loud. But he had a big personality. And Marvin Lewis talks about some of those personality traits, which were always positive.
Well, Tony was one of those guys who, you know, on Sunday was going to give you everything he had. Now, Wednesday through Friday, he was going to be like, we really got to do this. But on Sunday, you could count on him, and he would do everything he could to put that football team on his shoulders. Like you said, we got Goose a year after we drafted Ray and started adding the pieces, you know, year after year after that. And so that was really good. And Goose was always the guy that physically you could count on. He kept everything light and spirited all the time in anything we did.
And I'm guessing, Vinny, that big personality guys can grow tiresome in a locker room or a clubhouse unless their game matches the personality.
Yes. I'm guessing that Saragusa was probably, you know who was like that for us? Gary Plummer was kind of like that. You know, real smart guy, you know, wasn't the best at, but was there because he was smart and he was tough, you know, and talked a lot, you know. So I would think that would be, you know, something that, and like Marvin said, you need somebody to keep it light, you know, because you get dog days and stuff, man. I mean, it gets tough out there.
To that topic, here's Marvin Lewis, defensive coordinator for the 2000 World Champions, talking about the antics in that locker room led by Goose.
Oh, he got along great with them because he always razzed them, no matter what. You hated to be the punter or the kicker or you know, because he was giving them hell all the time. He never called them by their name. He called them by their number. I mean, he was just, you know, in the life of the party all the time. I said he was kind of the straw that stirred the drink, you know, day after day. And it wasn't a competition that Goose didn't figure out a way to win.
Now, is there that separation with big boisterous guys like Tony Saragusa? Because Ray Lewis seemed to be more on the serious side, and Boulware was kind of on the quiet side, I guess, on the surface. Goose looks at, you know, Matt Stover and, hey, okay, you're good at what you do, but you're still a kicker.
Yeah.
And if you don't do your job.
Hey, you know. Six. What are you doing, six? You know, or whatever.
Three.
But, yeah. The thing about it is I would think that, you know, he would know, you know, who he can get on and when you can, like Ray, you know when you can get on him and not get on him, you know, those kind, you know, I'm guessing that Ray Lewis is not a kind of guy that Saragusa every day is going to be getting on him. That's not going to be.
Yeah, him and Shannon Sharp did that. They had the nice little needle thing going together, Goose and Shannon. But, yeah, I mean, you know. All right, this guy takes things a little too seriously, and I'm trying to goof off with him. And yeah, right. Could take a turn.
You may throw.
It's sort of like Nolan over there. You gotta watch what you're doing with this guy, because he might get out of control. Start doing some roundhouse Bruce Lee stuff to you. 2000 defense did a lot of Bruce Lee stuff to people, like kicking their asses. If you're a running back, you might as well don't even suit up, because you're doing nothing. Almost literally, you will not accomplish anything running the football against them. But we asked Marvin earlier, when did you know that thing was going to be special, and it became historically good?
I mean, I think really as we, you know, kind of grew up together, all of us, as we, you know, you watch the Kurt Warner movie and you can see that we, Kurt Warner, we were his first victory in 99. But we knocked the hell out of Kurt the entire game. Our guys played better and better every week. And I think probably that was the realization of things. And at one point, Brian actually came into them and said, asked me if he could talk to the defense on Wednesday morning. And he came in and said, you know, I coached against you a year ago, and now I'm around you and you're mine and I'm with you every day. And, you know, you guys got to figure out how to all do it together instead of, you know, doing your own thing every once in a while. And we give up a play here and a play there and we end up losing. And that's when really I think they really came together and fought more for each other. And the fact that let's play 11-man defense and be great at it, and they were.
A bunch of shutouts, lowest point total allowed in a 16-game NFL season. And, you know, they went five games without scoring a touchdown offensively that year and still won two of them because of the defense. And Brian Billick famously said, well, I'm moving to the dark side, rely on my defense in the running game, because he knew trying to throw the ball 40 times a week wasn't going to get it done for him.
Yeah, that was a – yeah. Dominant. And you know what? The defensive guys, they took to that. You know, I mean, that was kind of their mantra. What, you know, hey, we'll shut them out, you know? Hey, Brian, how many you need today?
And that defense kind of set the tone for many defenses in years to come. I mean, we still talk about the Ravens as the defensive reputation, the Baltimore Bullies, and
play like a Raven.
Yeah, that's all predicated on what that defense put together and laid the foundation for 22 years ago. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Childs Walker from the Baltimore Suns going to be joining us. We'll talk about Goose and the Ravens with him. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, coming up around 1:45 or so. Inside Access at 2. It's Featured Artist Friday, REM. Only a couple more segments to go.
The latest sports news, and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured Artist Friday, REM. Chosen by you, the people. Only one more segment to go, so make that song pick a good one. Can I make a request to not play Shiny Happy People? Thank you. Duly noted. Childs Walker's joining us. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, talk about the life, Tony Siragusa, and talk about this year's Ravens team. We know now that the rookies report on the 19th of July, veterans on the 26th. There will be a practice out at M&T on July 30th. From the Baltimore Sun, Childs Walker. Childs, thanks for joining us as always, and appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. All right. Let's start with the Goose. Of course, you wrote about this a couple of days ago in the Sun. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Ferguson had passed away earlier. The news came out there, and then Goose in the afternoon. So it was kind of a double whammy for sure for Ravens fans and the Ravens organization. But when you talked to his former teammates, coaches, Kevin Byrne, you interviewed him, I know. What was the one common theme that they all had when they spoke of Tony Siragusa?
I think the common theme, and this won't be a surprise to anybody who was a fan of those teams and has been a fan of the Ravens since then, is that he obviously had an impact on people that went way beyond what he did on the field. I mean, he was a very important player, obviously, to that first Super Bowl team, a very important player to that historic defense. But the first things that people want to talk about with Goose are never the football things, right? I mean, it's always, you know, it's always a story, whether it's him, you know, hating training camp, or, you know, him taking things out in the rookies, sort of letting the rookies know their place. But at the same time, being the guy who would, you know, bring a light a light note to the locker room when things were a little tough. I mean, that was the stuff I heard over and over. I mean, you mentioned Kevin Byrne. I mean, Kevin had some great stories about Goose. I mean, he talked about how, you know, after seeing him play against the Ravens as a Colt, he thought a prima donna was coming to town when Goose showed up in 97. But, you know, he said it was clear very quickly that he was a lot more than that. And, you know, I thought one of the things that Kevin said that stood out to me was that, you know, over the years after they all retired, Goose was kind of the one who would always be checking in on former teammates. And he would even reach out and let the Ravens know if one of the guys was struggling in some way so that, you know, they could find ways to support them. So, I mean, he had a touch that went way beyond what we saw on the field and really even what we saw when he was being that character on TV, you know?
And you talk about on the field, and we know his girth, and he was part of the one of the great defenses ever. But when we think about iconic Ravens plays and, you know, the Ray Lewis taking the ball from Eddie George in the playoff game that year and McAllister returning, a short field goal, 100,000 yards for a TV and the countless Ed Reed plays. What about that hit on Gannon in the AFC Championship game? Does it get brought up as much? Quite frankly, never see it in the highlight montages of the Ravens' defensive history. But in retrospect, Child, 22 years after the fact, how big was that one particular play during that one particular Sunday afternoon?
I think it was, I mean, to me, that's a hugely memorable play. Now, I mean, he always said, you know, he always went out of his way to say over the years that he certainly did not intend to hurt Rich Gannon. So I don't think he was necessarily proud of it in that sense. But, I mean, yeah, it was big. I mean, Gannon, you know, Gannon was kind of a franchise quarterback at that point. That was a very high-flying offense that year, the Raiders' offense. And Gannon was certainly not the same the rest of that game. He did come back in the game, but it was a huge play. And, you know, I do think it was emblematic of the way that team played to some degree. And it was probably emblematic of the, you know, some of the reasons why a lot of people in other cities didn't like them. But yeah, I think it's absolutely one of the memorable plays from that year.
Hey, Childs, now with the loss of Fergie, do you think now that the Ravens, you know, instead of maybe going to sign one veteran pass rusher, maybe they go get two?
To me, it's still tough to talk about the Jalen story in football terms. I mean, I don't want to really be that guy, but I mean, it's only been 2 days. I mean, look, I think we all know the roster. We all know that was a need anyway. So I mean, certainly they're gonna be looking to add veteran talent there. But I don't know that I want to talk about what happened with Jalen in that context just yet.
So what was your impressions of minicamp? What did you think of the rookie tight ends?
Yeah, the rookie tight ends. I mean, certainly likely. I think was one of the standout guys from minicamp. You know, he just made some eye popping plays, some plays that you can't teach. And when you look at the wide receiver situation, I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, how much they need there. You know, are they going to go out and get a veteran there? Likely is probably part of the answer there, because he was talked about as sort of a almost a big wide receiver when he was drafted, and if he can actually be that, I mean, if he can be a significant target for Lamar, then that would be a big deal and maybe take some of the pressure off the wide receiver position. Kohler, you know, certainly looks like he can catch the ball. I think physically he looks very skinny at this point. I mean he's obviously tall, but I mean you had the Mark Andrews comparisons coming out of the draft. I mean he doesn't look like Mark as an athlete at this point. But then, you know, I go back to the first summer after Mark was drafted. I didn't think he looked like he was ready to play in the NFL either, and I was wrong about that. So, you know, certainly not going to pass judgment on Kohler yet. But I think Likely was the one who really popped in minicamp.
Childs, I'm telling you, a guy who I liked, you know, a lot, you know, after watching all the OTAs in the minicamp, Beatty. Beatty's a guy that just showed up all the time, you know.
I agree, man. He was definitely one of the draft picks who really stood out for me. He looked like a guy who, you know, I think if you're Justice Hill, you're probably worried about your spot. I mean, I think Hill was probably on the bubble anyway, but you know, Beatty certainly looked like a guy who could come in and help as a third down back. And he's gonna, I mean, given the injury situation in that position, he's going to get opportunities to show himself in training camp. So, I mean, I absolutely think he set himself up to really have a place on this team.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun. Childs, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your featured artist Friday. And see you in about, 32 days once training camp starts out at One Winning Drive.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be hot when it comes.
But, yeah.
All right.
We'll get there.
All right, Childs. Thanks. Childs Walker joining us, Vinny at 81.057. The Fan will come back. Close out the program with a trip through the Funhouse. Aaron Rodgers and the Yankees. They've come to an agreement. Pretty lucrative one for Aaron Judge, rather. And we'll explain that. Inside Access at 2. And then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Yours truly, Jim Hunter, getting you ready for the Orioles and the White Sox. Orioles win last night convincingly. Trying to make it 2 in a row, 3 in a row overall.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney, post up in the bleachers.
You're all curved. All of you.
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. REM, Losing My Religion. Their big hits going back to the late 80s, early 90s. Told you, they're not my favorite band.
Right.
But they've got a nice catalog of songs.
It's a nice song.
What did you think, Norm?
I don't know a lot of the songs by name, but once you start hearing them, you recognize a lot of them. They're one of those bands.
They've got a lot of catchy tunes. All sorts of genres, topical stuff for sure. So, REM is chosen by you, and I hope you enjoyed it, everybody, because it was your selection. Aaron Judge, hello. Aaron Judge and the Yankees, 1-year deal, avoiding arbitration. The hearing is today, or was. $19 million. Judge, who's been mashing in a big way, can get an extra $250,000 by winning the Most Valuable Player award, and he'll be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And an extra $250,000 on top of that for winning the World Series MVP, Yankees best record in Major League Baseball. So, $19 million with a chance to get another $500,000. Now the goal for both sides is to come to a long term contract extension.
What do you think he wants a year, Bob?
I mean, I'm guessing he's looking at Trout and players of that nature, I would assume.
So his contract, but he's 31 too, right? So
he's 30 years old, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go, I guess, what, 5 years?
He turned down $213 million before the season.
Over how many years?
I don't see the length of contract.
So he's going to get roughly, what, $40 million a year?
He'll get paid. And it'll probably be by the Yankees because right now he's kind of wielding the power.
Well, they can't afford not to.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, they can't afford not to.
So, Aaron Judge, congratulations to you for at least this. I know it's going to be tough to just settle for $19 million, but I'm sure he'll be able to make ends meet when it's all said and done. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. But you ready to get out of here? Quick draw. You seem like a busy dude. You got a lot to get to.
Get home and clean that carpet.
So let's go home safely, please. Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Talking a little bit earlier about Ravens tight end duos, drafting two tight ends in the same year, and one that we forgot to mention, a texter reminded us here, 2015... Max Williams and then Nick Boyle, once again, the second tight end taken.
Damn!
Good call, Texter.
So that's three times.
Max Williams still in Arizona?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He did all right.
Now, yeah, I mean, he hung around.
Yeah. His dad played for, when I was coaching at the Gophers, his dad was on our team at Minnesota.
Yeah, he's still in Arizona.
Right.
Played for the Giants, his dad did.
Got one on the Orioles here, says, do you see Bradish or Zimmerman losing their spot in the rotation at any point this season, or do they have enough rope to keep going out there every five
well,
days?
Well, Zimmerman already has lost his spot in the rotation. He's pitching down in Norfolk and did not pitch well couple of nights ago. I think Bradish might be on a short leash. He got pushed back to tomorrow night, but he's been getting pounded. And I like the kid. There is some upside there. Remember, he had 11 strikeouts against the Cardinals back in May. But, yeah, there's only – you don't want his confidence to get, you know, destroyed. Yeah. So if he needs to go back and work on some things – I mean, Spencer Watkins is on the Orioles taxi squad, for instance. You know, maybe he could be a guy that if Bradish struggles – hey, look. Bruce Zimmerman went from being the ace of the staff to being demoted.
Yeah.
So if Bradish goes out tomorrow and gets clobbered, I wouldn't be surprised if a move follows him as well.
Couple on the NBA draft. First one, Texter says, how in the world did Peyton Watson get drafted 30th overall? I looked up his stats. 3 points per game, 2.9 rebounds per game, just one season.
He's the UCLA guy, right?
Yes.
What's the UCLA pedigree, I guess. Maybe that's the upside that we hear about constantly. I mean, he wasn't even the guy or close to it on UCLA. I don't even think Johnny Juzang, for instance, he didn't even get drafted last night.
Another one here says, I heard Johnny Davis say he is open to playing point guard if needed. I know he doesn't have much experience there, but could the Wizards try to make it work right out the gate?
I'm sure that they'll be on that in a big way. Wes Unseld Jr., he did say that, you know, I could get us into our offense if I have to. So if he could dribble it up and then set things up, I mean, can he run a fast break? I'm assuming he can. So, I mean, they like that combo guard skill set that he brings to the table, and let's see how it goes. I still think they need a more traditional point guard, whoever that might be.
Get Beal the ball.
And last one here says, no way Judge leaves the Yankees. They always keep their stars in-house, unlike the Red Sox, who let a guy like Mookie Betts go.
I don't think they could let Judge go. And Judge is probably making so much money off the field, too. You know,
he's one of the few baseball players you see doing TV commercials.
Yeah. And I just, you know, the Yankee fans would crucify Cashman if they let him walk.
And seems like a likable fellow, too.
Yeah.
And you drafted him. You developed him. And here he is having an MVP caliber season. Yeah, I don't think he goes anywhere.
No.
5880-1057 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. Norm, what are you doing this weekend aside from cleaning the basement? Got to be something else on the agenda.
Nothing else planned. Or oh, I shouldn't speak so fast. Belated Father's Day festivities. We'll be getting crabs tomorrow.
No.
Looking forward to that.
I think crabs could be in my future this weekend. Now, if we stay close to home. Glen Burnie, we have a local spot we go to. But if we go to my sister's, which is a strong possibility, we'll be going to the Costas Inn because she lives right down the street from there.
Nice.
So I think crabs, because it's going to be nice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Crabs and water.
Hey, Norm.
We're going to be part of the
Haney's pool. Haney's coming up to Falston tomorrow.
Hey. Have fun there,
getting Bob. A free couch.
Hey.
No nation like
make
a donation.
Yes.
And my brother-in-law is bringing his truck. So all I'm paying for is nothing. It's Vinny at 80-1057 The Fan. We're done. We're back on Monday for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore baseball tonight. Stay safe. Stay healthy, everybody. We want to talk to you. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.